Othello program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with It's a Whole New Thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the age of research. So we've been doing a little research on the subject of Jell-O. Well, we found out that the best days of the week to serve Jell-O are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Which is just another way of saying that Jell-O is always, anytime, and every time, a perfectly swell dessert. For Jell-O brings you that full, extra rich flavor. A flavor as fresh and sunny as the real ripe fruit itself. And all six of Jell-O's famous flavors have the same rich goodness. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. A grand, satisfying flavor that has made Jell-O America's favorite gelatin dessert. And you like Jell-O's gay, appetizing appearance, too. Its shimmering, jewel-like colors that make it look so inviting. So enjoy some tomorrow. Just be sure to get genuine Jell-O and don't accept any substitutes. Look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. It's a Whole New Thing played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again we bring you our master of ceremonies, that bubbling personality, that effervescent comedian, that fizz, Jack Benny.
Well, thank you, hello again, this is Jack Benny, the carbonated kid, talking. And, Don, I like that introduction. It fits me to a T. I am bubbling and effervescent. The fizz, you can have that.
Well, Jack, let me explain. When I called you a fizz, it was really a compliment. I meant you were physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fizz for short.
I understand, Don, perfectly. In other words, if you called me a mug, you'd really mean I was magnificent. Is that it?
Exactly.
Well, Don, if you think I fell for that, you're a fathead and that's short for your whole body. Anyway, Don, let's not get into a routine because I know how you appreciate a good story. And I heard a gag a few minutes ago that will positively put every one of your tins in motion. Sorry, it's a honey.
It's a good one, huh?
Well, Virgil, the sound man, told it to me, and you know what a clown he is. Get this, Don. Don, I haven't even told you the story yet. What are you laughing at?
Is it the one about the nearsighted old maid that buried the midget?
No, heavens, no, Don. Heaven, not that one. This is a brand new story. Get this. There was a fellow walking down the street, and he was leading a pink alligator on a leash, when all of a sudden it started to act up and snap at him.
Uh-huh.
So the guy got annoyed, turned around to this pink alligator, and said, "You better behave yourself, or I'll take a bromo seltzer, and that'll be the end of you." isn't that terrific, Don?
Oh, it sure is. That Virgil has a great sense of humor.
Yes, gee, that was a funny story, Mr. Benny.
Oh, Dennis, I didn't see it. Did you like it?
Yeah, but there's one thing that puzzles me.
What?
If the man was walking down the street, where did he get the bromo seltzer?
Well, I don't know. He probably had a box of it in his pocket.
Oh, then I guess he had a glass of water in his other pocket.
Yes, Dennis, and a banjo on his knee. Now, don't worry about it. Say, you're here kind of early tonight, Dennis. Where's your mother?
She's across the street in the bowling alley.
In the bowling alley? Well, with her legs, she better watch out. Anyway, Dennis, I'm glad you're here on time tonight, and I'll try and make a habit of it.
You know, Jack, I can't get over that story you told me. It's silly, but I get a great kick out of it.
Isn't it ridiculous? Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What's so funny?
Mary, I must tell you. Did you hear the story about the fellow that was walking down the street leading a pink alligator on a leash?
Is that the one where the man said, "I'll take a bromo seltzer and that'll be the end of you"?
Yes.
No, tell it to me.
Well, this guy was... Wait, you just told me the answer. I thought you said you never heard it.
Oh, stop, Jack. That's one of the oldest jokes in the world.
Mary, jokes happen to be my business. And if that was the oldest joke in the world, I'd be the first one to know it.
Should I let him have it, folks?
Never mind. Do me a favor, will you, Mary? Go out and come back in again.
Well, gee, Jack, as long as you're telling jokes, why don't you tell a good one? I heard a gag last night that was terrific.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah. A man walked into the house and said to his wife, "It's raining cats and dogs outside."
Uh-huh.
And she said, "How do you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just stepped in a poodle.
I know where you heard that, Mary, at the Wilshire Bowl. Phil Harris has been husking that for 3 years. That's his theme joke. You know, Don, Phil's idea of humor is really pitiful.
Oh, I don't know about that, Jack. I was at the bowl one night, and the people screamed at him.
Sure they scream at him. Every time he finishes a gag, he has a waiter throw a custard pie in his face. That's why.
I didn't see anybody do that.
Oh, well, you must have been their bucket of water night. That's his idea of changing material.
Well, I'll say one thing about Phil. He sure attracts the young collegiate crowd. All the college boys go there.
They have to go there, Mary. That's part of their initiation. Before they can join a fraternity, they have to either listen to Harris or sleep all night in a graveyard.
In a graveyard?
Yes, and you'll be surprised at the number of kids around here that aren't afraid of ghosts. Yes, sir.
You know, Jack, Phil sure believes in that college spirit. Look at that sign on the bass drum.
Oh, yeah. Phil Harris and his collegians. Look, he spells collegians with one L.
Well, he spells Phil with two, so it's all even.
You know, Mary, sometimes I think that Phil...
Jiggers, here he comes now.
Don't jiggers me. Now, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. What's going on?
Well, to tell the truth, Phil, for the last 5 minutes, we've been talking about you.
Well, a little build-up ain't never hurt nobody.
No, Phil, and never done you no good, either. Your grammar's worse than Abe Lyman's, and he never got beyond block.
Well, who cares about grammar? I got other things to worry about.
Oh, I can imagine. Say, Phil, I noticed that new sign you got on the bass drum. What happened to that corny painting you used to have there?
Corny?
Yeah, you know, the one with the yellow moon and the green river and the purple trees. Remember that one, Mary?
Yeah, he used to call it Gypsy Doodle by Rembrandt.
That's the one. Whatever happened to that painting, Phil?
I sold it to the Metropolitan Museum in New York.
You mean the Museum of Fine Art?
I don't know what they got there, but that's the joint that bought it.
Phil, are you crazy?
Crazy nothing. Someday that picture will be hanging in Paris, right next to the Mona Lulu.
Well, I'm not going to even bother to correct that. How do you like that, Mary? The most famous painting of a woman in the world, and Phil doesn't even know her name.
If she were alive, he'd know her name and phone number.
And her address and what she's doing on Friday night. Well, I got myself on a detour for no reason at all. And besides...
Hey, Jack, why don't you tell Phil that story the sound man told you? He'll get a kick out of it.
Oh, he wouldn't even get it.
Come on, Jackson, what is it? Let's hear it.
All right, Phil. Do you know the one about the fellow who was walking down the street and his pink alligator snapped at him?
Know it. I'm the guy that drank the bromo.
There you are, fellas. He's always got a brilliant comeback, even if he has to make a bum out of himself. Oh, Dennis?
Yes, please?
How about a song before we get involved again?
Okay, Mr. Benny. I'm going to sing an old favorite by Stephen Foster called Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair.
Oh, that's swell, Dennis. I love those old songs.
Old songs, old gags. What this program needs is glands.
Mary, you just attend to your own little knitting. I'll handle the show. Sing, Dennis, the guy that drank the bromo.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, born like a vapor on the golden air. I see her dripping where the bright spring plays, happy as a daisy along her way. Many are the wild notes a merry voice would call, many are the blithe birds that warble them all. Oh, I dream of Jeannie with
the light from heaven, floating like a vapor on the soft summer air. I long for Jeannie with the day-dawn smile, radiant with gladness, warm with winning guile. I hear her melodies attuned to love, warm as a sunlight from heaven above. Many other fond notes a merry voice would call, echoed by the birds in the grove.
With the light brown hair sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, those old songs always do something to me. I love them.
Me too.
Jeannie with the light brown hair. What a grand title. You know, Dennis, I used to have light brown hair in my hair.
Why, Jack, from the pictures I've seen of you, I thought you had black hair.
No, Don, it was brown. Sort of a russet brown. You know, just like the leaves in autumn.
Well, rake them up and let's get on with the show.
I wish you'd stop with those interruptions. Anyway, Dennis, I noticed another thing. Your singing seems to improve every week. You're gaining poise and confidence.
Well, thanks, Mr. Benny.
Just think, this is your seventh week on my program.
7 weeks? Gee.
Yes, sir.
Am I going to get paid pretty soon?
Pretty soon, Dennis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to...
Hey, Jackson, why don't you pay the kid?
Bill, I intend to pay him. I'm merely holding his salary until he's a little older. I'm teaching Dennis how to save money.
Well, he's learning from the top man.
Thanks, Miss Livingston. And if I were you, I wouldn't say another word unless you rube it up on the Lum and Abner program. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going
to... Oh, here you are, Dennis. Did you sing your song yet?
Yes, Mother.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Day.
Good evening.
Oh, Mother, you should have been here a few minutes ago. Mr. Benny told the funniest joke.
It was rather good. Tell it to her, Dennis.
Well, Mr. Benny was walking down the street leading a pink alligator.
Oh, Stewed, eh?
Stewed, it wasn't me, Mrs. Day. Dennis got the story all wrong. I never touch a drop of liquor.
Then why have you got that red nose?
Because I'm a comedian. What do you think? My tie lights up, too. This story, Mrs. Day, is about a man who takes a bromo seltzer and gets rid of a pink alligator.
What's funny about that?
Nothing. It's very sad. I'm crying like anything. Oh, what a dame.
What's that?
I said, oh, what a game. I saw UCLA play Santa Clara yesterday. It was thrilling. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will please forgive my outburst. As I started to announce, tonight we are going to offer an original little playlet all about Thanksgiving, written especially for the occasion by Mary Livingston. Mary, let me have it, will you?
Oh, Jack, I forgot to tell you.
What?
I changed my mind about a Thanksgiving play, and I wrote a poem instead.
A poem?
Hey, Mary, you mean to say we're not going to do a Thanksgiving play?
No.
Gee, and I was all set to be one of them pilgrims.
Oh, fine. You'd make a great pilgrim, Phil.
Well, I would. Listen, buddy, my ancestors came over on the Mayflower.
Oh, did a Doc and Dixie? I thought your family always lived in Tennessee.
Not originally. You see, we migrated from Massachusetts.
Migrated? You don't by any chance mean you migrated.
All right, we moved. Forget it.
Migrated. Did you hear that, Mary?
Yeah, he put in an extra syllable in it.
You're not palooling.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of the mood, let me say a few words about Jalello.
Jalello?
It is economical, easy to make, and comes in six delicious flavors. So look for the big red letters on the barack.
Thanks, Don. You surveyed the day. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as we have no Thanksgiving play...
Mary Livingston's going to read a Thanksgiving poem.
Oh, no, nothing doing.
Oh, gee, it's swell, Jack.
I don't care. You're not going to read it.
Jack, Benny, you let me read this poem or I won't buy my Christmas card from you this year.
All right, a lot I make on the ones you get. You don't even have your name printed on them. Now go ahead with your poem.
Okay.
What's the title of it?
The title is Thanksgiving, You're a Little Mixed Up, Aren't You, Kid?
Well, that fits. Go ahead.
Oh, Thanksgiving, oh, Thanksgiving. You are with us twice this year. With your pumpkin pie and dressing, and your turkey, front and rear.
That's the part I always get.
The pilgrims planned in days of yore that you'd come once, not anymore. But now you are a double feature, and we don't know which day to greet you.
Greet you?
That's what I said, you gorgeous creature.
Now, don't be funny. Go ahead with the poem.
Suppose we had two everything, two New Year's Eves to laugh and sing, two Christmases, two Labor Days, and two Jack Bennies with two toupees.
Mary, you're too pressing. Are you through?
No, but I'm coming into the stretch.
Oh.
So Thanksgiving, I don't mind. Well. If you're a week before or a week behind.
Mm.
What's the difference? What the heck? The turkey's the guy that gets it in the neck. The end.
Very good. Mary, that was silly, but you came through with flying colors. And now, Phil, how about a number to kind of break things up here?
Okay, Jackson, what do you want us to play? Anything special?
Well?
You name it, and we'll play it.
All right, how about that number you rehearsed all morning? You know, the only one you can possibly play.
Oh, okay. Hit it, boys.
He asked for requests yet. Hold it a minute, Phil. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Are you a little mixed up on account of the two Thanksgivings this year?
Yes, I am. Why?
I was in a fog when we only had one. Goodbye.
He's not kidding, folks. He's got his shoes on backwards. Play, Phil.
Thank you.
was Cherry Berry Bean, a swing version of an old favorite played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, fellas...
Hey, what's the matter? Aren't you going to complain about the number we just played?
No, Phil, I thought it was pretty good. I liked it, didn't you, Mary?
Yeah, it was swell. Did you like it, Don?
I thought it was okay. How'd you like it, Jack?
Oh, it was great. How'd you like Phil's number, Mary?
Well, I thought it was a little loud in spots, didn't you, Don?
Yes, it seemed a little off here and there. What did you think of it, Jack?
I thought it was lousy. And now, fella...
Hey, what is this, a rib?
Yes, Phil, we were just kidding. I thought your number sounded exceptionally good. Didn't you, Mary?
Feel me out. I'm tired.
Now, fellas, as I started to say a little while ago, and before I forget it, Thursday being Thanksgiving, I want all of you to come over to my house for a real old-fashioned turkey dinner. How about it?
Oh, that's well, great, Jack. Well, you see, there
and was Dennis, this invitation goes for you also.
His mother, too?
Yes, Mrs. Day, my party wouldn't be complete without you.
You don't sound very sincere about it.
Well, what do you want me to do, send you a mash note? Glad to have you. The more, the merrier. Good heavens.
Say, Jack, is this party going to be like the one you gave last Thanksgiving?
What do you mean?
I mean, is the turkey going to be leg of lamb?
Don't worry about that, Mary. This is going to be a real dinner. I've got the biggest, fattest, juiciest turkey you ever saw.
Where'd you run over it?
I didn't run over it. It's a live turkey. I got it in my garage right now. It's roosting on my Maxwell.
That's all that car needs.
Well, you wait till you see that bird. I bet it weighs 65 pounds.
65 pounds? Why, Jack, you must be mistaken about that.
Oh, no, I'm not, Don. I had it on the scales. It's an enormous thing.
65 pounds? Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Wait till next Thursday and you'll see for yourself. It's going to be a swell party.
How many people are you expecting, Jack?
Well, there'll be our gang, and then I invited Clark Gable and Carol Lombard, Bob Taylor and Barbara Stanwyck, Tyrone Power and Annabella.
Oh, Jack, you always ask them to every party you give, and they never show up.
Well?
Why don't you stop inviting them?
I can't stop now. They'll think I'm mad at them. You know how it is.
How can they be mad at you when they don't even know them?
I don't even know them. Listen, Phil, I know every one of those stars personally.
Sure, Jack tells them their Christmas cards.
Mary, will you stop harping on that? The only reason you ever got cards from me is because I happen to have some left over.
Every year.
Oh, quiet. Now, don't forget, fellas, Thursday night at my house.
Oh, okay, wait a minute, Jack. You know that.
Boy, we're going to have a big turkey and cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes. And, Don, guess what kind of jello we're going to have for dessert?
Strawberry?
No.
Raspberry?
No.
Cherry?
No.
Orange?
No.
Lemon?
No. Give up?
Yes.
Lime. You see, Don, you almost had it.
There's a kindergarten commercial if I ever heard one.
Never mind, that's what we're going to have. Now look, kids, if I don't see you again before Thanksgiving, be sure and be at my house by 7 o'clock sharp. And don't eat a big lunch so you'll really enjoy the turkey. I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Penny, this is Rochester.
All right, what do you want?
Well, boss, I just heard you talking about a big Thanksgiving party Thursday night. That's my night off.
I'm sorry, Rochester, but you'll have to work. You can take a day off some other time.
I can get my twin brother to take my place.
I don't want your twin brother.
Well, he looks just like me.
I don't care if he does. I want you to be at my house on Thursday night.
How about me in spirit and my brother in person?
Rochester, don't try any tricks. I can tell the difference between you and your twin brother.
That's more than his gal can.
Never mind. Now, look, Rochester, I want you to get that turkey up to 70 pounds by Thanksgiving, so go out in the garage and feed it.
I'm working on a Christmas card.
They can wait. Now, go out in the garage and feed the turkey.
Okay. Oh, say, boss, I meant to ask you something about that bird. Are you sure it's a turkey?
What do you mean, am I sure it's a turkey?
Well, I went out in the garage a few minutes ago, and she laid an egg as big as a cantaloupe.
As big as a cantaloupe? What are you talking about?
Not only that, but every time I go in there, she sticks her head in a bucket of sand.
What?
Boss, you bought an ostrich.
I bought an ostrich?
That's right. She just ate the headlights off your car.
The headlights? How do you know?
She had two Adam's apples, and they were going down fast.
It's all your fault, Rochester. You were with me when I went shopping for a turkey. Why did you let me buy an ostrich?
I told you it was a pretty big bird for the money, but you know you.
Well, I guess there's nothing we can do about it now. Isn't that awful? I got a polar bear in the guest room and an ostrich in the garage.
And mice in the pantry. Let's move out.
Now, don't get panicky, Rochester. I'll be home in a few minutes. Meanwhile, call up the market and order a turkey.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What?
Have you changed your mind about using my twin brother Thursday night?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll figure out something. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Rochester. Rochester. Well, I'll be darned.
What's the matter, Jack?
Plenty. That big turkey I bought turned out to be an ostrich.
Oh, boy. You're going to be lonesome on Thanksgiving.
I am not. Now, Mary, don't worry. We're going to have a swell dinner. Play, Phil. I wonder if you can eat an ostrich. I don't know.
Some folks are celebrating Thanksgiving on the 23rd of the month, others on the 30th. Well, either way, I'd like to offer a suggestion in regard to your holiday menu. For dinner, of course, there'll be plum pudding or pumpkin pie, but later on in the evening, when supper time comes, bring the day's feasting to a fitting close with a truly out-of-the-ordinary dessert, a shimmering dish of golden lemon jello. Now, there's really a luscious-looking dessert, ladies and gentlemen. A grand treat full of the ripe, tingling flavor of juicy lemons fresh from the tree and glowing with the warm color of sunshine. And you can serve it in shapely molds garnished with fruit, nuts, and maraschino cherries. Or it can be sliced into dainty cubes, tumbled into parfait glasses, and topped with snowy whipped cream. Either way, it adds up to a mighty slick dessert that will catch every eye and capture every taste. And that goes for all the rest of Jell-O's six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Jell-O, remember, is a light dessert. Just the thing to appeal after a heavy midday meal. And it's quick and easy to make with, and Mother will appreciate it, after working, cooking a big Thanksgiving dinner. So order genuine Jell-O from your grocer tomorrow.
Of the seventh program in the current Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Now, don't forget, Mary, next Thursday night at my house for a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Count me out, Jack.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to serve that ostrich. I'm going to have a turkey.
Oh, you are, eh?
Yes.
Well, if I find a headlight in the dressing, watch out.
Oh, don't worry. Good night, folks, and a happy Thanksgiving.
Here's news. Every Tuesday night, the Aldrich family is on the air, starring Ezra Stone as Henry Aldrich, that lovable hard luck kid. Consult your local newspaper or radio guide for time and stations, and be sure to tune in on the Aldrich family next Tuesday night.
Bluebirds in the Moonlight is from Gulliver's Travels. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're hearing special Thanksgiving selections from old-time radio programs. Stay tuned. Our next show from the golden age of radio is coming up next. Thanksgiving has always been the official kickoff of the Christmas season. We're getting into the spirit on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday with 2 hours of Christmas music. Listen Thursday and Friday mornings from 10 to noon for 2 hours of the music of the season to put you into the holiday spirit. Season's greetings from all of us at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 57 with fog. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the mid 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Go! due to an error made by a late-for-a-date stenographer in typing out the governor's annual proclamation, today's Thanksgiving was for Vista. But the squire of number 79 is in no mood for it. He just got his tax bill, and he thinks this is a day for vultures, not turkeys. Listen to him as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Look at this tax bill, will you? $124.68 taxes on real estate and property we already own. Is that robbery or ain't it?
It ain't. I mean, it isn't.
Well, that's better.
You know, that's $4 less than we paid last year.
My gosh, it ought to be less. It ought to be a lot less. Think of the depreciation. Think of the wear and tear. Think of the time I've...
Think of my eardrums and stop shouting.
Well, gee whiz, $124...
Look, sweetheart. You're a fine broth of a boy, but you woke up this morning full of croutons. Calm down, relax.
Baby, I woke up this morning full of gladness. I could hardly shave for laughing. I sang in the shower. I loved humanity. I was happy old McGee, the smiling elk. And then what happened? I get a tax bill for $124.68. For what? I asked you for what?
McGee.
Huh?
You're awfully cute when your eyes flash fire like that. But I don't want you to scorch your eyelashes. Will you listen to Mother a minute?
Sure, but I warn you, I'm in a very unreasonable mood.
Yes, I know, but after all, this is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, ta-da. Thanksgiving is all very well for an ignorant pilgrim. What taxes did he have on a little old homemade log cabin and a rusty blunderbuss?
Well, as long as you're so upset about expenses, you don't have to take me out for Thanksgiving dinner like you promised. I'll fix something at home.
Gee, you will?
Certainly. I'd love to do it.
Huh?
What do I care if I just got a new permanent and a facial and spent my month's allowance on a new hat? And haven't got anything in the house to eat except some cabbage and a half a dozen meanies.
How we fix for mustard?
Our last drop of mustard went to the dry cleaners yesterday on your blue necktie.
You better eat out. I can't eat meanies without mustard.
Well, all right, but remember now, I thought to stay home.
I know, kiddo. The taxes are going to ruin us anyway, so we might as well go to the poorhouse in a cab. My gosh, he...
Come in. Well, heavenly days. Happy Thanksgiving, Doctor. McGee, it's Dr. Yambo.
Hello, my dear. And a happy Thanksgiving to you, too, turkey face.
Thank you. Thank you, stuffing belt. And don't blather about Thanksgiving to me. I ain't any mood for it.
Sonny, did I ever tell you about the time my aunt's cat fell into the vat of dill pickles?
No, you didn't, Doctor.
What that cat got to do with me?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, except that you are the sourest puss I've seen since then.
A little upset over his tax bill, Doctor.
A little upset? You know what my tax bill was, Fatso? $124.68.
Mine was $210 for the same size house.
Yeah, but you got a gravel driveway.
Now look, Schnook.
Yeah?
Must you always be beefing about something? You're a chronic complainer. You have the warm human emotional soul of a slag heap. By the way, Molly, speaking of slag heaps, I'll have to eat my Thanksgiving dinner at the hospital. Can I drop in here afterward for a cup of your coffee?
Why, Doctor, we'd love to have you do that, except that McGee's taking me out to dinner. Where are we going, McGee, anyway?
Gus's. We can get a table d'hote dinner there a la carte for $2 a throw.
A table d'hote dinner a la carte? Lovely. Think up next.
I've never been there myself. Is it nice?
Nice? Why, my gosh, they even got a sextet of five fiddle players on the balcony. Playing the violin on cellos.
Yes, and the music is free. Strauss is on the house. Have fun, children.
Fun with a tax bill hanging over me for $124.
Now, please, McGee, please.
One word of advice, Grouch Bag.
Yeah, Snook. I am an expert, more or less, on contagious diseases.
Yes.
According to my researchers, one of the most infectious things in existence is a smile. It will hurt a little at first, but try one, son. Maybe you can start an epidemic. Go on, Molly.
Good old Jack. 124.68 taxes on this house. Why the dirty highbinders? What do them bandits want? Blood?
No, I think they want money, McGee. The Jim said
maybe
McGee.
They're just confused down there at that city hall. Maybe they think I want to buy this house. Maybe they don't know I already bought it and paid for it with my own sweat and tears.
Yes, sweat, tears, and a lucky raffle ticket, don't forget. As a matter of fact, McGee, this house only cost us $2, you know.
Oh, my gosh, that makes it even worse. $124.68 taxes on a $2 house. That's ridiculous. It's outrageous. It's unconstitutional.
It's only from the Elks Club. Come in.
Hello, McGee. Hello, Mrs. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Ollie, and the same to you.
What's happy about it? Look, I don't know if that's anything new today, McGee, but I know today about Ollie's eating turkey. I had him a turkey last week in the raffle with 30-pound turkey.
My gosh, Ollie, a 30-pounder.
That's what they say at base at the raffle. You may have to believe it, too. The bones of Ollie must have had 28 from him.
My goodness, your wife must be planning quite a dinner, Ollie. Are you having some friends over?
No, no friends, Mrs. She was relatives. My sister-in-law, Julia, she's spending her vacation at our house.
Oh.
Well, she's got a good job in the city. She's a governess. Maybe she'll go home and do it.
Governess? My gosh, married a governor, eh? Which governor did she last home?
Oh. No, McGee, a governess is a lady who, well, she stays with the family and takes care of the children.
Oh, a sitter.
You said something there, McGee. Since she comes 2 weeks ago, she don't stop sitting all day. You might easy sure.
Where does your sister-in-law work, Ollie?
Oh, she works for an Irish family in the city, Mrs. I had a big idea yesterday. At a boat, she goes home. But it ain't come out good.
Yeah? Now, what'd you do, give her a hot foot? Why don't you try something subtle, like throwing her trunks out the window with her in them?
Now, quiet, McGee, and listen to Ollie.
What I did, Mrs., I called her up on the phone from the Elks Club, and I changed my voice with Irish dialect.
Oh?
Hello, I say. Who did I say? This is your boss, Mr. Young J. O'Malley. Julia, I say, the girl the youth can't get along without. So, will you please wash up your vacation in blissful whistle and come back on the yard? But it ain't good.
Yeah, don't worry, girl. Well, somebody must have picked her off. Maybe one of the kids told her it was you. Say, how many kids you got at your house, girl, anyhow? I know a few of them, but they're... far more, aren't there? Because, oh, sure. Me and the missus, we got 3 kids now. We got another one on today.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know that. Only another youngster on the way.
Yeah, my oldest boy, Lars. He's on today from Chicago. Well, I go meet his train now. So long, now. So long.
What was I doing when Ollie came in here? Seems to me I was sore about them. Oh, that dad-ratted pocket-picking first-snatching tax department. I'll say I'm sore.
Oh, now, McGee, don't get all worked up.
Boy, does this tax thing burn me up. Get your hat, kiddo. I'm going to go down to that city hall and...
The city hall, sweetheart, is closed today. This is Thanksgiving, remember?
Mm.
The day of smiles and sweetness and light. The day of joy and gratitude for our blessings.
Well, it shows what dirty cowards those guys are. Picking a legal holiday for me to open my tax bill that came yesterday on. They knew I'd have that one.
Hello, Molly. Hi, pal. Happy Thanksgiving, Gibbs.
And the same to you, Mr. Wilcox. Nice to see you.
Happy Thanksgiving, he says. Sure, it's a happy Thanksgiving for him.
Has he seen our tax bill?
When I say happy Thanksgiving today, I'm not kidding, kids. I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Well, we all have, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, well, them tax bandits loose terrorizing innocent people with the big bills.
Yes, indeed, because with Johnson's self-polishing broker, the new water-repellent broker, I can really talk turkey to housewives these days.
Cranberry sauce. Look, with conditions like they are...
Because you see, here at last, kids, is a self-polishing floor wax that is positively water repellent. A wax that stays on and stays bright even after repeated damp moppings.
Is it gravy repellent too, Mr. Wilcox? Because lots of people will spill gravy today.
Absolutely, Molly, absolutely. Does Johnson's new water and gravy repellent blow coat on your floor, linoleum? You can wipe slow things up with a damp cloth, or mop them up if you like, but you don't wipe the wax off your floor.
I'd like to wipe out that tax card because
glow coat stays on and stays bright longer. Not days longer, but weeks longer. So Johnson's new water repellent glow coat.
Hey, the finest, it is the last word. Please, Waxy.
I'm sorry, pal, but I gotta get going. You see, my aunt is having 18 relatives over to her house tonight for a duck dinner. And I'm trying to think of a way.
A way to what?
Duck dinner. Come on, sir.
Thank you.
And that guy talk about food when the whole tax structure of the whole nation is tumbling down around his ears. The whole world in a turmoil, and Wilcox goes right on making a living.
Oh. For goodness sakes, McGee, forget it till tomorrow at least. This isn't going to wreck our whole world economy, dearie.
That's the principle of the thing, Molly. $124.68 on a house that I only got an investment of $2 in. It's outrageous. It's exuberant, that's what it is.
Exorbitant.
I'm glad you agree with me. Why, this thing amounts to government conjugation of property, you know that? This can grow into it. Where are you going?
Up to get dressed. It's nearly time to leave if we're going to Gus's for dinner. Mm. Now, you better get shaved too, dearie.
Okay, Tootsie.
It's time, you know.
Wait a minute. Oh, there's a good kid. He's steady as a rock. She knows the whole world is in a mess. Russia with the atom bomb. The pool table at the Elks with a 2-foot hole tore in the cloth. Me with a tax bill for $125. But is she worried? No, sir. When she gets hungry, she just... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, it's you, Jane. Come in if you want. Well, I warn you, I'm in a rotten humor.
Oh, that's okay, mister. Happy Thanksgiving, anyhow.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm sore, sis, you understand? I'm steamed up like a clam dinner. If I was running this town, there'd be no taxes. I'm against taxes. Anyhow.
Gee, mister, our teacher was, too, yesterday, I met you.
She was, eh?
She was, hmm?
I said she was, eh?
Who was?
Your teacher.
Was what?
Against taxes.
When?
Yesterday.
I know. Roy Jokes put him in her chair.
Huh?
They were thumb taxes. Only it wasn't her thumb that she...
No. Skip it.
Okay. Hey, mister, we had a wonderful quiet school yesterday, I betcha.
Good.
Pilgrims and Indians. I was a beautiful pilgrim maiden.
Well, that's fine, sis. Now, you're on wrong home.
Well, I got time, mister. I'm in no hurry. I'll act it out for you. I'll act the whole play with all the parts.
No. Absolutely no.
Okay. Just the last scene. The big scene. I, the beautiful pilgrim maiden, am tied to a stake, see?
Yeah.
And the savage Redskins reach there to kindergarten kids with watercolors on their face. They're going to sculpture me.
What?
Sculpture me. Cut off my scalp with a woolly hawk.
Tomahawk.
Tommy didn't have one, so he had to use Willie.
It's very uninteresting. Now, look, sis.
Oh. lucky bow and arrow when he really fell down, and the arrow flew out of his hand and shot the principal behind the potted palm. And the principal screamed and jumped on our teacher's foot, and she let go of the rope that holds the curtain up, and the curtain fell down and knocked one of the savage redskins into the front row in the school superintendent's lap. And broke his glasses. And now we got a new rule at our school. No more plays.
My goodness, this is good food, Weedy. I'm certainly glad you insisted we have our Thanksgiving dinner out.
Well, you know me, kiddo. You're a roomie in the kitchen, but now and then I get hungry for a good restaurant-cooked meal. But I was telling you, but when I added the training table in my baseball day...
Well, Mr. and Mrs. McGee, is everything all right?
Just fine, thank you, Gus. This is a wonderful dinner.
It ought to be. $2 a throw.
Well, I'll be back pretty quick. Anything you want to speak up?
Okay, Gus.
What were you saying about your baseball days, McGee?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't get news like this when I was in training.
Well, what did you play? First base, wasn't it?
I was a pitcher. Manager of the team saw me standing around one day and he says, "You pitch, don't you, Shorty?" And I says, "Sure. How'd you know?" "Well," he says, "you're small and you got big ears. The little pitchers have got big ears, so go get into a uniform and let's see what you got." So as relief pitcher, I traveled all over with the team.
Southpaw?
No, more, mostly around the Middle West. I often wish I would have stayed a baseball player, Mrs. Bones. Baseball players don't get whammed with $125 tax bills. $124...
Secretary, hush now. You're talking so loud, people are looking.
Well, let them look. By George, one of these days, isn't that a trivia sitting at the table behind the post there?
One of these days, it probably is.
Sure it is. Hey, Latrivia.
Why didn't you let the man finish his dinner? Ah, hello, Your Honor. It's nice to see you.
Hello, Molly. Hello, me. Latrivia, you're just the guy I wanted to see. Sit down.
Well, just for a moment. Please stop waving that piece of paper in my face.
That's no ordinary piece of paper, Mr. Mayor. That's a declaration of war.
Look at this tax bill, Latrivia. I want to protest. By George...
Please, keep your voice down to a bellow. Mr. Mayor, may I apologize for breaking into your Thanksgiving with this silly tax business?
Oh, that's quite all right, Madam. As mayor of this city, it is my duty to listen to the protests of citizens at any time of the night or day, or on holidays. I haven't had a decent holiday since Dr. Gamble took my appendix out.
Well, as the nurse said when she pulled the string out of the candle and told the patient to get out of bed, there's no wick for the rest of
us. Who was the patient?
And why were they using candles? Things blown out?
Of course not. That was just a kind of a gag saying. I was...
And if you will permit me to correct you, McGee, the saying is not no wick for the rested, it's no rest for the wicked.
That's right.
I know that. Doggone it, it was just a joke I made up.
A joke? A joke? I don't see anything funny in a nurse yanking a patient out of bed. Was it one of Gamble's cases?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a case at all. All I said
was... don't use candles in Dr. Gamble's hospital, Mr. Mayor. It must have been some little dicky hospital because...
It was not a horse-related price, little ice pail. Look, Latrivia, when you said...
I'm sorry. I'd like to stay and hear more about the way those nurses handled their patients.
I wasn't listening about the kid in the panel. The patient in the panel. All I said was this whole thing started, then rather started. You said I was there. I went in. You were the one. I was there.
Latrivia. Yes, McGee.
You going to be in your office tomorrow?
Are you coming in?
Yes.
No. Good day, Molly.
Thank you. Here, I must say, this was no occasion to take up the matter of your tax bill with the mayor. This is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, fine Thanksgiving. With bankruptcy breathing down my neck.
Excuse me, please, Mr. McGee. You don't look happy about something. Is something the matter with dinner, maybe?
No, Gus, it was a beautiful dinner. Just lovely.
Good. How's about some nice desserts?
No, thanks, Gus. I'm too upset.
What's upsetting you, Mr. McGee? Is there anything I can do something about it?
I'm afraid not, Gus. Just take a look at this tax bill. $124.68 on a house we already own.
Good gracious, you're in a house? Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful? What's wonderful?
I'm trying to find a house for my wife and kids, but so far we're just living in a trailer.
Really, Gus? How many children have you?
I'm only seven, but they're very noisy. Like even nine sometimes. That must be very nice having a house, I think.
Yeah, but my gosh, Gus,
I'll never forget when I get my citizenship. The judge says, Gus, he says, what do you want to be a United States citizen? So I say, Judge, I say for a big judge who asks very silly questions, I want to be a United States citizen because over here, nobody is saying, Gus, your papa was a shoemaker, so you've got to be a shoemaker. Here, everybody can do what he wants to do. My kid is as good as anybody else's kid.
That's all, though.
When you come to the old country, you need a prayer book, and you see Statue of Liberty holding up a lamp. My wife, she gets tears. She says, Gus, that lamp is something for people like us. We work hard here, we pay taxes with gladness, so that lamp is stated for other people's. For us, Mr. McGee, there's 365 Thanksgivings every year. No dessert?
No, thank you, Gus. No dessert.
Neither, Gus. Just give me the check.
Oh, it's no check again, Mr. McGee, for my friends. I started this business with help from people like you. You're good to me, and everybody is good to me. Thanksgiving is for me to you. Thank you very much for coming.
Oh, thank you very much, Gus.
I'll see you next week, Gus. Come on, boy.
Now then, what were we talking about, McGee?
This tax bill. $124.68. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I don't.
For a swell little house like ours, my gosh, it ought to be at least $200. I'm going to see the assessor tomorrow. See if I...
Well, that was a nice finish for a Thanksgiving day, McGee. Gus serves a fine meal, doesn't he?
I'll say, I never walked in there yet, but I didn't waddle out. I think I'll get all his customers together and organize a PTU.
PTA, you mean?
PTA, yeah.
You mean Parent Teachers Association?
No, it's the Food and Tummies of America.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
The Medical Center Hospital ProCare primary care physicians and specialists are continuing to provide care during the COVID-19 pandemic through telehealth visits. This allows established and new patients to visit with a doctor from the comfort of their own homes. Patients can connect directly with a provider from their smartphone, computer, or tablet. Simply call one of our MCH ProCare offices to schedule an appointment. For a list of providers, they can also visit procareodessa.com/find-a-physician or call 640-6468 for more information. Medical Center Health System and MCH ProCare want the community to know we are here for the community during these uncertain times and that we are dedicated to continue making sure West Texans are treated and taken care of.
As we celebrate Thanksgiving, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you a special selection of iconic audio-described movies. On Thanksgiving Day at 1 p.m., we start with 101 Dalmatians. At around 2:25 p.m., it's The Wizard of Oz. Around 4:05 p.m., Raiders of the Lost Ark. And at about 5:55 p.m., The Godfather.
On Black Friday, we start our movies at midnight with Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry. Friday at 8 a.m., it's E.T. the Extraterrestrial. At 1 p.m., Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman star in Casablanca. About 2:30 p.m., Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet star in Titanic. And around 5:45 Friday afternoon, The Godfather Part 2. On Saturday at midnight, our movies continue with Apocalypse Now. And on Saturday night, our weekly movie begins earlier at 5 p.m. with the classic Gone with the Wind. Sunday night at 6:30, it's Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. Finally, Monday morning at 8, Gene Kelly stars in Singing in the Rain. We hope you enjoy our audio-described iconic movies all weekend from Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 60 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie.